Number one, Job chapter 14, verse number one. The scripture says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you have made. Thank you for letting us be alive. Thank you for giving us this time where we can come together in your house, fellowship, pray for one another, sing praises to your name. Most of all, where we can spend time in your word. And Lord, I do pray that each one of us would give our undivided attention to the word of God. Lord, please free our minds from distraction. Help us to be able to focus, be alert, be attentive. Help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us. If there's any decision that we need to make, I pray we would do so before we leave this place. And Lord, even beyond this place in the days to come, I pray that we be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for loving us, being so merciful. Thank you for our salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. The title for the message today is Man Born of a Woman. Man born of a woman. And I want to begin by saying the book of Job, both historically and practically, is the story of the fiery trial endured by one of God's choicest servants, a man we all know as Job. And the story of Job's fiery trial, which spans 42 chapters in the Word of God, can be broken into three main sections. First of all, in chapters 1 and 2, you have what I call Job's dilemma. Job's dilemma. And this is where we read of the great trial of affliction Job endured at the hand of Satan. And then secondly, beginning in chapter 3 and going through chapter 37, in the bulk of the book, you have what I call Job's debate. Job's debate. This is the back and forth debate between Job and his friends as to the reason for Job's suffering. And then finally, in chapters 38 through 42, you have Job's deliverance. Job's deliverance. And this is what James, in the fifth chapter of his epistle, calls the end of the Lord. And we see, as the Bible says, that the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before his fiery trial. So you have Job's dilemma, you have Job's debate, and you have Job's deliverance. And in my opinion, this is my opinion, but in my opinion, this story recorded in these 42 chapters teaches some of the richest devotional and inspirational truths found anywhere in the entire Word of God. For example, from this story we learn that bad things happen to godly people. We learn that bad things happen to godly people. In the first two chapters, the Bible tells us that Job was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. It teaches us in those chapters that he was a man of worship, a man who was careful about what he said with his mouth, and a man of great integrity. So what happened here wasn't because he was a heathen and didn't know God, and it wasn't because he did something horribly wrong. This was a divinely ordained fiery trial used to further refine and purify what was an already godly man. So we learn that bad things happen to godly people. We also learn that Satan can only do what God allows. He can only do what God allows. Now we read here and understand from what it says that he will use anything at his disposal in his efforts to keep us from being faithful to God. But Satan can only do what God allows. Another truth is that sometimes our greatest obstacles in being faithful to God can be our family and friends. Another truth is that people have varied theological opinions about who God is and what he does or does not do. And that is definitely seen throughout our world today. A lot of people have different ideas and opinions as to who God is and why God does or does not do the things that he does or doesn't do. And I believe the primary reason why you have such variation in thought is because in our world today, we no longer go by one single authority, which is the Word of God. Now people have all sorts of books and things they call Bibles and so forth that they go by instead of the true Word of God. And the result of that is mass confusion and deception throughout the world about who God is and why God does what he does. But you find from the book of Job that people have very theological opinions about the Lord. A fifth and final truth that I want to mention is that God ultimately rewards faithfulness. Amen. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessing. And it may not seem so when you're in the midst of a fiery trial, but if like Job, you'll hang on until the end, you'll find that God ultimately rewards faithfulness. But now, for today's message, I want us to focus our attention for a few moments on one verse that is found in this entire story. And that is our opening text. I want us to focus our attention for a few minutes this morning on Job chapter 14 and verse number 1. Now, this is a verse that I have quoted. It's one that I have referenced many, many times down through the years that I have been in the ministry. And I can tell you personally that this is a verse the Lord has used many times to remind me of the need and the importance of doing all that I can for the Lord in my life. And so I want us to focus for a little while today on this verse. And there's three things I want you to see from this verse about man born of a woman. Now understand, when the Bible uses the term man here, it's not talking just about men, like males. When it uses the word man there, and as I'll use it in the message, it has to do with mankind, with people in general, not just men, but men, women, people in general, mankind. And there's three things I learn here about man that is born of a woman. First of all, I want us to talk this morning about what I call the beginning of man. The beginning of man. Take a look there at verse number 1, and notice it says, man that is born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman. That is the beginning of man in the sense that that's when a person's life on earth begins. Now let me hastily give some clarification on what I mean. I believe, as I think most all of you believe, that life begins at conception. Amen? That's what I believe, and I feel like those of you in here believe that as well. But what I'm talking about here is a person's life on earth outside of their mother's womb. That begins at birth. That begins when they are born of a woman. And just as kind of a side note, notice it says, man that is born of a woman. It does not say man that is born of a man. Anybody with good walking around sense knows that's not how it works, right? You got to be educated to believe anything other than that. Because it's very clear to anybody with any sense that man is born of a woman, and I mean a true bona fide woman. I'm not talking about some pervert. That's what I said. It's being recorded. You can listen to it again. I'm not talking about some pervert that through medicine and surgeries has changed herself into what they call a woman. That's not a woman, that's a monster and a pervert is what that is. That's an abomination in the eyes of God is what that is. Now, the news media can call it whatever they want, and you can call it whatever you want, but we're going to call it what the Bible calls it. That's an abomination in the eyes of God is what that is. And man is born of a true bona fide woman. People are conceived, carried, and birthed into this world by a woman. And that's when their journey in this world begins, when they leave their mother's womb and they're born into this world. Now, we're going to talk in just a moment about a couple of other things that have to do with man. But before I move on to the second point in this passage, I want to remind everybody here that every person born of a woman is born spiritually dead. Every person born of a woman, their physical life may begin on this earth when they're born, but when they come into this world, they are born, according to the Bible, dead in sin. So they're alive physically, right? They're alive physically. They've been birthed into this world. They have physical life, but what they don't have is spiritual life. According to the Word of God, they are dead in trespasses and sins. And this is why in John chapter 3, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a man that should have been well-versed in the scriptures of the Old Testament, a man that should have been a spiritual leader for the nation of Israel. This man comes to Jesus by night. And Jesus tells this religious man, who certainly would have had some knowledge of the Bible, that he must be what? Born again. Now, why would the Lord say something like that to this man? Why would he use the terminology born again? It was something that confused Nicodemus. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And he asked the question, how can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? He thinks Jesus is talking about a second physical birth. But what Jesus is talking about is a spiritual birth. And here's the reality that everybody needs to understand. If a person is only born of a woman, if that's the only birth that they ever have, then when their time on this earth comes to an end, according to the Word of God, they will not see or enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what the Bible says? This stuff I'm giving you is straight out of the Bible. Straight out of the Word of God is where this is coming from. If a person has only been born once, then when they leave this world, they will not go to be with the Lord. They will go, here's an ugly word, they will go to hell. It's an ugly word today. That's hate speech. That'll get you in trouble. Well, I've been in trouble most all my life, so I reckon I'll just live the rest of my life in trouble. The fact of the matter is, biblically speaking, if you die having only been born of a woman and not born of the Spirit, then you will go to hell when you leave this world. Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. He didn't say it was something that you could possibly get by without. He said, ye must be born again. When he talks in that passage about being born of the flesh and being born of water, he's talking about that initial birth, that physical birth where a person comes into this world, they leave their mother's womb and they start their journey on earth. And he talks about how they have to have that, but they also have to have a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, he says, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you're not born that second time, then when you leave this world, and y'all listen to me now, I've said this stuff before, but it's worth saying again. If you never get born again by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's how you get born again, amen? Then it really does not matter what you have accomplished in your life down here on this earth. It does not matter. You could be the wealthiest, most successful, popular human being on this planet. You could be a very religious individual, in fact. And there's a whole lot of religious people in our world today. You can be very religious and know all sorts of doctrines out of the Bible. You can have been baptized, keep the sacraments, all these religious activities, but reality is that if you've only been born once, then when you leave this world, no matter what you've done in this life, you will go to hell. You only get to see and enter the kingdom of God by being born again. So you have to have that first birth, but you have to have the second birth. I like what I read one time. This man approached his pastor and he said, "Pastor, why do you always tell us you must be born again?" He said, "Because you must be born again." The old saying is this right here: you're born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you die once. Amen? That's the thing. But the beginning of man is being born of a woman. But the question you need to ask yourself this morning before we move on is very simple. Have I truly been born again? It's obvious that you were born the first time. That's obvious. I'm looking at you this morning. You were born of a woman, but have you been born of the Spirit? Has there ever been that time in your life where you genuinely put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone to save your soul from hell and experience that second birth? Has that ever happened? If it has not happened, then listen to me. Listen to me. You are not ready to die. You're not ready to leave this world. So you need to ask yourself, have I been born again? Here's the second thing I want you to notice in this verse about man, not only the beginning of man, but number two, I want to talk for a few minutes about the brevity of man. The brevity of man. Look at what it says in this verse. Man that is born of a woman is of what? Few days. Few days. How many of you understand this morning that's all we get down here? We just get a few days down here. The brevity of man. The beginning of man, we're born of a woman. The brevity of man is a few days. We only get a few days down here on this earth. And some people say, well, I know people that have lived to be 70, 80, 90, even 100 years old. And that's true. There's some of you in here today that would meet that criteria. I don't think we got anybody 100 yet, do we? Anybody 90 in here just by chance? I don't think so. We got some 80 and above, though, don't we? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass you, but we got some above 80. Brother Red's raising his hand. Okay. Proud of it. Amen. Listen to me, folks. Even if you're blessed enough to live to be 90, just say you make the century mark. Say you get to be 100, which is a very rare thing nowadays. Just say you get to be 100. Do you understand that 100 years isn't a drop in the bucket. It isn't a single grain of sand on a seashore. It's not even a single twinkle in a single star in our universe when compared to eternity. Do you understand that? So all you're going to get as a person down here born of a woman, it's just a few days. You're not going to get a long, long, long life in biblical terms. You're only going to get a few days. Compared to eternity, 100 years is absolutely nothing. The Bible says this. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that what? Appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what the Bible says your life is. What do you get down here? You get at best just a few days. And on top of that, according to the Word of God, the few days that we get down here on this earth are going to go by very fast. We get just a few days, and those few days are going to go by very fast. In the Bible, our days are likened to a weaver's shuttle. That is something that moves at a very rapid rate. It's not something that just eases along. It moves very swiftly. In the Bible, our days are likened to a post rider. That's somebody that travels from one place to the other carrying a message to somebody. I guess one we probably are familiar with is Paul Revere. The British are coming. The British are coming. Well, he didn't just, get that message and just sashay along and take his time and stop 10 or 12 times along the way and just ease into town and say, hey, the British are coming. You know what he did? He traveled just as fast as he possibly could. And that's what a post rider does. They get the message and they get on their horse or whatever it is and they go just as fast as they possibly can to deliver the message of importance to whoever it is to be delivered to. And that's the way our life is. It's as swift as a weaver's shuttle, as swift as a post rider. We get just a few days and they go by very, very fast. In the Word of God also, our days are likened to a shadow. A shadow. This week as I was thinking about this message and mulling it over in my mind, I was out walking around my yard one day. And as I was walking, the sun was at a certain position, and there were some shadows there on the yard. And I got to thinking about how, you know, there's a shadow right there at this time, but in an hour from now, that shadow won't be there. Not exactly in that spot, will it? You know, every time you see a shadow, what that ought to do in all reality, every time you see a shadow, it ought to remind you of just how fast your life on this earth is going to go by. That shadow's there, and then just like that, it's gone. Just an hour, a couple of hours, it's completely gone. And every time we look out, we get up in the early morning, and we look out, and the sun's coming up, and we see that shadow on the yard, or maybe we're out somewhere doing something. We see those shadows, and then before you know it, those shadows are gone. Every time we see that, it ought to remind us of just how brief our life on earth is. The brevity of man. Because we only get a few days, this is one reason why we as saved people need to warn lost people to be born again. Amen? It's why we need to warn lost people that they need to be born again. They need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Because listen to me, before they know it, these lost people, their lives will be over. Before they know it, their lives will be over. And they're going to be in eternity. This is also why it's imperative that those of us who are saved, need to do as the Bible says and redeem the time. Take advantage of the opportunity that we have. Be as busy as we can. Now, y'all realize we ought to be trying to cram as much for the Lord in as we possibly can. I mean, just do as much as we can. Because our time here is short. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Before you know it, I mean, every one of us in this building here, before we know it, our life down here is going to be over, and we're going to be standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. Just like that. We're sitting here, and I know it's hard to get your mind around it. Because some of you aren't well up in years. You're still young and you think, man, I got a long life in front of me. Yes, you may have from a human perspective, but you don't from a biblical perspective. You only have a few days and that time's going to go by very fast. And like people tell me all the time, and I appreciate the word of encouragement, it only gets worse the older you get. Isn't that the truth? I know when I was a kid, you know, really young, it seemed sometimes like time just drug by. And I used to complain about that. Any of y'all used to complain about how slow it seemed time went? Wouldn't you like for it to slow down now? Mm-hmm. And people that were older than me at the time, what they used to tell me back then is just enjoy it because one day it's going to speed up. And you know what happened? One day it sped up. It just seemed like it started going faster. And now, as I said, what people tell me when I make some comment about how fast life is going by, I'm not complaining about it being slow anymore. I've changed. Now I'm talking about how fast it goes by. Then that's when they drop the bomb. Well, it only gets worse the older you get. If I continue to live, I'm going to drop that bomb on somebody one day. I tell my son regularly. Because he's kind of, you know, that age where I was back then, complaining about how slow life goes by. I tell him, you better enjoy it, son. Because it's going to speed up one day. And friend, when it speeds up, it ain't going to slow down. How many of you understand? Be willing to admit that a week now, what is a week now? It's nothing. It's nothing. A year. Do y'all realize this year, 2018, is just about over? Y'all realize that? I mean, we're fixing to be at Halloween. Next thing you know, it's going to be Thanksgiving and Christmas and then New Year's. And 2018 is going to be a thing of the past, friend. And before you know it, we'll be talking about how 2019 is just about over. We have just a few days, and they're going by very fast. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better get busy. It's not time to be just sitting back on your blessed assurance, taking it easy. It's time to be doing something. If you're able right now, use what time you have. Maybe the days and the weeks and the months and the years up to this point you've squandered away on stuff that doesn't matter. You know what you ought to start doing right now? Spending the rest of your time on this earth doing as much as you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because before you know it, your life's going to be gone. If the Lord blesses you with 80, 90, 100 years, before you know it, you're going to be sitting around looking back at your life saying, wow, where did the time go? That's what you're going to be saying. And I guarantee you, there's going to be some regrets when you look back. And you're going to think, man, I wish I would have used my time more wisely. You know how you avoid that? You know how you avoid having to sit around as an old person looking back with regrets on how you spent your life? You know how you avoid that? You get busy doing what you can for the Lord right now. That's how you do that. It's not going to happen by accident. If you want to be able to get to the end of your life on this earth and look back, and I'm not saying be completely happy, because I don't think any of us can be completely happy. We all make mistakes, right? But if you want to get to the end of your life and be able to look back and have some level of satisfaction and contentment with how you spent your little bit of time on this earth, you better get busy right now. Because before you know it, your time's going to be up. You get just a few days, and they go by very, very fast. Here's the last thing that I want to talk about. The beginning of man, the brevity of man, and then thirdly, the burdens of man. The burdens of man. Look at verse 1 again. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Isn't that what it says? Did I read that out of the Bible? Full of trouble. It doesn't mean that that's all you ever have. We have a lot of blessings along the way, don't we? We have a lot of good times along the way. We have an awful lot of trouble along the way, too. The Bible will always be right, 100% of the time. It will be right. And the Bible says that we're of a few days and full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. If there was a man that knew about trouble, it was Job, right? He understood what it was like to have real trouble. Not, you know, hangnail or stomp my toe kind of thing. I'm talking about a man who knew what it was like to have real trouble. Job understood that. Job chapter 5. Hold your place here and look back at Job chapter 5 for just a moment. And notice what it says in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Job 5, 7. Job chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said this. He said, in this world, well, that's where we are, right? And we'll be here until we leave. Either through the rapture or death, we'll be here till then. In this world, ye shall have tribulation, is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Listen to Psalm 34 and verse number 19. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Not few. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. In this life down here, you're going to have physical trouble. And again, I look across the auditorium. Many of you older than myself. Some of you younger than myself, much younger. We got some little kids, some people in what you might call the prime of their life right now. And when you're young, especially a little child or a teenager, early 20s, 30s, and, you know, strong, healthy, some of the stuff I'm talking about, you think, yeah, you know, trust me, the day's coming, friend. I don't care how young you are in this building here this morning, the day's coming when you're going to have physical trouble. This thing right here is going to start breaking down one day. You're going to start having problems with this body. It's a fact of life. You're going to have physical trouble. People have emotional trouble, financial trouble, family trouble, spiritual trouble. There's all kinds of trouble that we have to deal with in our short time here on this earth. Here's what I want to do, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to give you some good news this morning about these burdens of life, and that's how I'm going to close this thing out. First of all, let me say this. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 55 and verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That's a promise from the Word of God. You will have trouble. You're going to have burdens. That's not up for discussion. You will have them. Now, some may have what seem to be more than others or greater ones than others, but everybody that lives on this earth has trouble. Amen? We all have burdens, but the good thing is that we don't have to carry and shoulder these burdens by ourselves. Those of us that are saved can take all of our troubles and our burdens, and we can cast them upon the Lord, and His promise is that He will sustain us. That's good news this morning. I don't know what your burden is today, but you know what you can do with that thing? You don't have to walk around carrying that burden. You can give that thing to the Lord, and He'll sustain you. It doesn't necessarily say that He's going to take the burden away, but He will sustain you. That's the promise. Another thing is that we're only going to have to deal with these burdens for a little while. I mean, if it's true that we only got a few days, and guess what? I've only got to deal with this mess for a little while, right? Just a little while. Paul says this in the New Testament. He says, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, You know what your life is, according to what Paul says there? He sums that whole your whole life up. You know what he calls your life? A moment. That's what your life is. Just a blip. Is what it is. Just a moment is what our lives are like, according to the Word of God. But the good thing is that these light afflictions are just for a moment. I'm not going to have to deal with them a long, long, long time. Just a few days down here, I got to deal with these things. And then guess what? Here's the last thing I want to tell you. We're going to leave this world one day. Amen? We're going to leave this world. We all said amen, but I don't think anybody in here wants to leave today, do you? Not unless Jesus comes. If He comes, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But nobody in here wants to die. Let's be real about it. None of you want to leave it today. But the good news, if you're saved, if you've been born twice, is that one day you will leave this world. And when you leave this world, thank God, you're going to leave every single burden behind you. Isn't that a blessing? To know that one day you're going to go to a place where no burdens are allowed. Isn't that a blessing? Just to know you're going somewhere where there'll be no trouble again. I can't even get my mind around that. Because life is full of trouble. It's just something all the time. Trouble everywhere of all kinds. But one day I know I'm going to leave all this mess behind, and I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and forever and forever and forever there'll be no trouble. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Again, I ask.